Well, at the beginning of this new year, once again, we're prevented from gathering together. It has certainly become, in the words of that carol we often sing around Christmas, a bleak midwinter. There is, of course, a glimmer of hope, but we realize it'll take time, perhaps years, for our economy to recover and for us to overcome the devastating effects of social isolation and mental health and the relationships that have not been possible for us to enjoy. So, for the time being at least, we hunker down in our homes, unable to see one another or give our grandchildren a hug. Well, as it happens, as we begin this new year, we read again the story of the creation, of beginnings. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Actually, that phrase "in the beginning" occurs twice in the Bible. It occurs here in Genesis. And of course, it's the phrase that opens up John's gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. In the beginning, God. Paul goes on to tell us what Christ's part in this creation of of the world was. In the beginning, all things were created by him, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. It is God's purpose in Christ to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. Well, according to Augustine, the 5th century bishop of Hippo in North Africa, before the Big Bang, of course, they didn't use that language in the 5th century, but before the beginning, the world already existed in the mind of God, in the intimate, loving relationships of the Trinity. He called the three persons, Augustine called the three persons of the Trinity, the amans, the lover, the amatus, the beloved, and the amor mutas, the mutual love between them, the lover, the beloved, and the love between them. So what we can say in reading this first chapter of Genesis is the cosmos, the universe, is not a bunch of rocks drifting aimlessly through the sky. It was conceived in the mind of God and born in the love of God. Genesis, of course, is a faith statement. It's not a scientific explanation of the beginning. It's saying something far more profound than just what happened and how it happened. It's not just a blueprint for world making or a construction manual as to how to build a world. What Genesis is saying is this, and those few verses that were just read for us earlier capture just a little bit of that. What was going on in the mind of God as he gave expression to his desires and in love brought the world into being. In the beginning, there was nothing. There was a void. But the Spirit was moving. And God said, "Let there be light." And it was so. And he separated the light from the darkness. And he looked on what he had made. And behold, it was good. That word good occurs seven times in this first chapter of Genesis. So in these bleak times, despite the evidence to the contrary all around us, the world came to be and it continues to surge with the mystery of God's gracious and loving presence. It is good. Now, it's most likely that this story in Genesis was first told in the 6th century BC. When Israel was in exile in Babylon. And it was probably told to refute the Babylonian stories of the beginning of the world, their stories of creation. See, the Jews, when they were taken into exile, found themselves in an environment that told a very different story about how the world began. In the beginning, Apsu, the father god, and Tiamat, the mother god, gave birth to the gods. Now their children, the younger gods, like all children, got a bit on the nerves of their parents, and they plotted to kill them when they were sleeping. However, the children got wind of the plot, and instead they killed the father god, Apsu. Tiamat, the mother, who's known as the monster of primeval chaos, pledged revenge. And the children gods, terrified by Tiamat, turned to their youngest sibling, Makul, for help. And he succeeded in demanding that if he was successful, he would become the chief of the gods. Now, the story goes on to say that he kills his mother Tiamat and stretches out the corpse, and out of that, the cosmos was created. Now, you can see that story circulating in Babylon, where the children of Israel found themselves. It's a view of the world in which violence saves. War brings peace. Might makes right. Security comes through strength. Order is established through violence. Incidentally, this story is retold thousands of ways, even in our modern world. Think of children's cartoons, the Ninja Turtles or Superman or Tom and Jerry or Popeye. And of course, many films and television dramas tell the same story, that strength, that we need to act out of strength, that violence is the way to bring peace. It still dominates our human lives. Now, that creation story in Genesis was told to those people in Babylon, the Jews, in order to remind them of their origins, to keep their faith alive, because the story they were hearing in Babylon was a lie. And in our darkness, in this bleak midwinter, when darkness seems to be having its way with us right now, it's a story we need to hear ourselves again. We've been shocked this week by the events in the United States of America. Did you notice a link between the Babylonian story and the language of Donald Trump earlier this week? This is what he said before those crowds stormed the Senate building on Wednesday. He said, "You will never take back our country with weakness. You have to show strength. You have to be strong." Now, that's a sentence that comes straight out of the Babylonian myth. If the world was created in internecine violence, then peace can only come through violence. You have to be strong. Now, Donald Trump, of course, was not the first one to talk like this. In fact, sadly, in pulpits across America, people have been told a story that led to the storming of the Senate building. And it's a story that's reinforced on a daily basis by the entertainment industry, by Hollywood. They've taken on board, if you like, this story for themselves. But it's the Babylonian myth. It isn't the biblical truth. And they go on to suggest that evil forces have taken control of the world, and it's the people of faith that must reclaim control. The destiny of the world is in their hands. However, how wrong they are. Genesis tells us that the world is not the result of violence. It's not been left to its own devices. It's not been abandoned. All things exist because they first entered the mind of God. He spoke them into existence. Though darkness is part of the world he created, he separates light and darkness. And the darkness cannot be overcome. Sorry, the darkness cannot overcome the light. And this is good. And it was evening and morning the first day. Well, we rarely read the Book of Lamentations these days. It's a book in the Old Testament that's a litany of suffering and grief, written in light of the pain and destruction that was caused by the Babylonian invasion in 586 BC. It opens with these words that could very easily describe our current lockdown. How lonely sits the city that was full of people. Children beg for food from their mothers. Refuse piles up in the streets. And yet the writer of Lamentations knows the Genesis story. and he knows that all things exist as an expression of God's love. And so in the middle of that litany of suffering and pain and hardship come these words: the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy never comes to an end. They are new every morning. And that verse ends with words that are actually in a hymn that we sing very frequently: great is your faithfulness. So in this bleak midwinter, as we begin this new year, as we step across the threshold into a new year, let's together claim the promise of Psalm 30. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Or in the words that Amanda sang for us, and thank you, Amanda, for singing it: as we enter this new year, let us enter it with faith, strong to welcome all that lies before us, our unknown future, knowing God is there. Amen.